Welcome to the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe. Dr. Shyla Morgain is back with us today to talk about how to make your holidays less stressful and more meaningful. She is a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Morgain specializes in using mind-body medicine to treat chronic medical problems, adjustment issues, mood and anxiety disorders, injury rehabilitation, and peak performance enhancement in athletes. Shyla is also a sports psychologist to the UW Badger student athletes. So are you anxious about the holidays, or have you found a way to lessen stress? Give us a call. We'd like to hear about it. 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Shyla Morgain, how are you?
Oh, so happy to be here, and happy holidays.
And to you, too. It's always so nice to have you here to kind of get us ready for the holidays. You know, as I said earlier, it's supposed to be joyous. It's supposed to be wonderful. It's supposed to be about family, but many of us find ourselves stressed. And what would you suggest that we engage in acts of kindness to help relieve stress? Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Even a joyous holiday season can cause stress for most Americans. Some research suggests that nearly 9 out of 10 U.S. adults feel stressed during the holiday season.
That's a lot.
I think this year it may be even more. There's just a lot of uncertainty right now. Many people are having to pinch their pocketbook and worried about getting food on the table or buying those gifts for their kids. I also think travel, there's some uncertainty about travel, and just even getting together with family and feeling a lack of time. All of those are contributing factors on kind of normally, and I think this year it's going to be heightened. And I also want to say people who have pre-existing mental health conditions, the holidays can be particularly difficult and exacerbate symptoms. So I'm so happy today we're talking. Love to hear from folks as well about what we can do. And I just want to start with the notion, I think, putting thanks back in Thanksgiving or being the gift versus getting a gift. And there was some interesting research that showed that people often think, hey, if I get the latest gadget or I get a raise or I get a new pair of shoes or I get that thing I'm longing for, even getting a new home, I'm going to be happier. But the research is quite clear. It's actually giving to others that makes us happier, and we stay happier if we can really spread some generosity and cheer this time of year.
And that makes so much sense, because I know even giving like a compliment to somebody who's maybe not in a great place, it makes them feel better, but it makes me feel better too that I was helpful to them. So it doesn't have to cost anything, right?
Absolutely. You know, it can be free of giving our time, giving a sense of gratitude or appreciation, or helping somebody in need, even just by sitting with them and listening to them and offering words of encouragement. That is available to everyone. And we often hold off from doing some of those random acts of kindness because we feel like, it's not going to mean that much, so why bother? But as you're highlighting, Jill, you know, it helps us, but it means so much. And I think especially this year, we want to live in community and spread that good cheer. So we contribute to a positive ripple effect. And so I really encourage people not to hold back and maybe even think about one or two people in the next couple of weeks that you can give your time or energy, give them a call, send them an email, send them a text, stop by if it's a neighbor, make plans just to be present and share your care with them.
And one of the things you talked about too is pay it forward through random acts of kindness. Give us some examples.
Well, this happened to me a few months ago, and man, it put a smile to my face. And I was just simply in line for a cup of coffee. I was through the drive-thru, and when I showed up, that person in the car ahead of me had paid for my coffee. You know, and that's something I'll never see that person again. But you know what? That made me inspired to, a few months later, I did it for somebody else. So you could think about that, you know, doing something nice for somebody. Another one that comes to mind, if you live in a home, you might pull up the garbage can for your neighbor if they're offish work. You might leave a plate of cookies, holiday cookies for a neighbor. You might drop off a little gift for a coworker, kind of like your own secret Santa, and just leave it there for them. So, things that when we think about those kinds of things, it really can really boost someone's day because you were thinking about them, and it might just help in ways you can't imagine. And then as we've been highlighting, it also helps you feel that sense of meaning and purpose, even if there are struggles and strife in your own life at this time.
As part of a bunch of organizations that are all volunteer, I understand the struggle that organizations have for volunteering, but that's another way for people to give back, isn't it? Even if it's just a little thing, right?
Absolutely. You know, when I think about the holidays and self-care, one of the things that people really struggle with is a sense of isolation or loneliness. For some people listening, you might have had a recent loss and you're missing that person around the table. Or maybe there's some anxiety about finances and it's hard to be present. And so volunteering your time and energy to a worthy cause is so important because it builds a sense of connectedness. And there is so much need. I think of that quote of your deep gladness, of that meeting the deep need in the world. So it might be writing a check or the Salvation Army dropping some of your spare change or even ringing the bell there, or maybe donating some food to a food pantry or volunteering your time and actually going to an animal shelter and walking those dogs, or maybe you stand in line at a food bank or another cause. Maybe you're buying some gifts that you're giving to families so that their kids have presents to open. So there are so many organizations out there, and it doesn't have to take a lot. And I think, you know, what's really important is grandparents, this is wonderful to model for your kids and grandchildren. Parents, it's wonderful to get those kids involved at a young age because I think it really demonstrates and models and shows this value as a family of caring for others during the holidays.
Yeah, that's an excellent point because, I mean, we all know our kids tend to have too much stuff in a lot of cases. So maybe it's experiences, like you said, or volunteering. I mean, what a great learning experience that would be. So if you're feeling this, if you're feeling the stress, if, you know, there's all this family obligations or what have you, what would be your advice for letting those feelings known to your family and maybe sitting down and talking to them about it and maybe deciding as a group, let's make it a little bit different this year. Is that a good way to address that?
Absolutely. And I think you highlight something really important. You know, when we think back to our childhood, we rarely remember the gifts, but we remember the experiences. And so as you're saying, give yourself permission to do it differently. Maybe you say no to some of those worn out obligations, but you say yes to a new tradition. And I think being really intentional around, we only have so many days to the holidays, let's do something that's meaningful, that could bring some joy to ourselves, that could make a difference in somebody else's life, and then plan for it and come together and talk about it ahead of time. I think if we don't plan for it, our time will get eaten up with other things before
yes.
we know it. It's
mm-hmm.
a new year. But I think you could have a lot of fun with it to figure out what are causes that are important to each member of your family. And then maybe picking one and carve out some time and do it together. And it also speaks to just traditions. You know, maybe you want, if you struggle or you know, you have a sense this is going to be a particularly hard time, maybe you create a tradition, like all getting around and making something. I know one of my good friends, they make Christmas cookies and go around to their friends and deliver them. And that was one of our highlights, getting those freshly made cookies. And it was a way of connecting, spreading cheer, doing something for somebody else. And you know, it was a great way of modeling and teaching there. I think he was 5 at the time of what's important this holiday season.
For sure. We're talking with Dr. Shyla Morgane, a psychologist at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. And you can join in the conversation. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Coming up at 11:30, we're going to talk about multiple sclerosis with Ashley Schneider. She runs a Milwaukee-based nonprofit raising money for MS research. And with her, we'll have Dr. Jacob Sosnoff, who is an MS researcher and has benefited from money raised. And then at 12:15, our hours are a little strange today, we'll talk to Dr. Tess Jordans about helping women through menopause. But right now, we've got Dr. Shyla Morgane with us, and we're talking a little bit about the stress and the holidays coming up and ways that we can make them a little bit more joyful. One thing you had mentioned, Shyla, was to offer unconditional support. And I thought that was really interesting. We probably don't think about that sometimes, but could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think about that in a couple different ways. You know, I think about first one of the largest stressors during the family are family dynamics, getting together with relatives that you might disagree with around a lot of fundamental issues. You might be on opposite sides politically or just in making different life choices. And that can really trigger conflict and tension. And I think going back to that sense of unconditional support, that you might have some rules. We're not going to talk about politics over the Thanksgiving dinner table. And instead, being open and listening and asking questions and offering words of encouragement. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're all more alike than dissimilar. And so around that dining room table, you might even get curious about that person's hopes and dreams, things that might be important to them that they are working towards, or even a concern that they might have. And so I think if we can show up more open-hearted and simply practice some mindful listening and offer words of encouragement, that can smooth over some of those maybe rough edges or differences that in the past might have triggered disagreement or discontent. And then I would say, just in general, I think we're all hungry for some words of kindness and care and connection. Again, so many people are struggling with loneliness. Or maybe you have a friend that went through a loss recently. And so simply just reach out to them. You can send them a text, schedule a phone call, go for a walk, sit down over a cup of coffee, and just communicate how much you care for them and how you believe in them. And, you know, that might go a long way for somebody who has difficulty believing in themselves. And you might even consider doing that in a holiday card as well, just personalize it, sharing maybe just even some things you're grateful for about that person and wishing them well.
Yeah, I love that idea. Instead of putting in the family newsletter to brag about all your accomplishments, which is, you know, kind of cringy these days. But yeah, ask about that person. I really, really like that. We have a call from Jenny in Madison. Hi, Jenny. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What we do in my family is we share, like, project support or tasks. And also we do membership rather than gifts, because most of us already have quite a what we need. And like membership to the Historical Society or the Art Museum or something like that. So I wanted to share that.
Yeah, or Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? Jenny, that's a wonderful idea. What do you think, Shyla?
I think the Wisconsin Public Radio membership should be a must for everyone this holiday season. But Jenny, I love that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily need more physical gifts, but donating your time with providing support around projects or simply tasks around the house or outside of the house. And membership is another way of contributing to nonprofits that may have had their budget cut. And that donation keeps, that service being offered and people employed. And then it gives you maybe as a family an opportunity to schedule an outing to go to that art museum or listen to Wisconsin Public Radio all together. I think that we think about our money and how hard we worked for our money and our money serving us instead of just buying something that'll end up maybe in the landfill a year from now, giving to something that pays it forward to others and can serve others and contribute to kind of culture in our community too.
For sure. I almost wonder myself, I love the idea of helping a family or friend with a chore around the house because there's stuff that you can't do by yourself, and exchange stuff like that rather than an actual physical thing.
Yeah, and we know sometimes it's so much easier to get those chores done if you have help. It provides motivation. It takes less time. You can have some fun doing it. And I think we all have chores. We kind of
go
to the bottom of our to-do list and never get to. And that can really feel good and bring a sense of accomplishment. And I think that's often when I think of love languages, those acts of service is also how some people really feel cared for.
Yeah, and for those who don't know what love languages are, could you explain that just really quickly?
Yeah, we all have ways in which we feel loved. It might be physical affection, words of appreciation, quality time together, acts of service is another one. I feel like there's one more that I'm blanking on, but we often give in the way we actually want to receive, and actually finding out how others feel cared for and donating or giving in that way really hits the mark. So if somebody's a physical person, give them a hug, words of appreciation, write them a letter, acts of service, do their dishes.
And there is
that long way.
That one person who does like little gifts. So I think that was the fifth
one. Gifts. There are people. I mean, I think there's even a free quiz out there.
Yes, there is.
On love language if you want to learn more.
And that would actually be fun to sit around and do. I mean, find out what your love language is and share it with the people that are important to you. So all good ideas. And before we only have about 5 minutes or so left, but I thought it would be nice if we talked a little bit about after the holidays, coming up in January, when all of us feel the pressure to have to be perfect, basically, to lose weight, to get a better job, what have you. How do we deal with that in a way that's constructive and not like defeating to us?
Absolutely. Many people can set all these New Year's resolutions only to within a couple of weeks fall off the bandwagon. So I like to think about it in two ways. One, reflecting on this past year. What went well? Celebrations, and what is an area you didn't go so well that you want to work on? And then two, set SMART goals. So something that's small and specific, that's measurable. You want to do it within, how much, how often, by when. Something that's attainable, it's realistic. That's where people often fall off. They
get too
big of a goal. It's relevant or important to you. And then time-based, something you're doing a week or two. So a SMART goal. And just picking one or two. And then thinking about supports in place that will encourage you, whether it's having it visually up somewhere to remind you, a friend to check in, or maybe even interviewing somebody who's achieved it that you can learn from. And then the if-then, so plan for the setbacks. If this happens, then I'll do this to get around it. If this struggle shows up, then I will take this action to get back on track. And I think it can be really exciting to think about in this next year, one or two things that you will feel really good about accomplishing and thinking about, if I accomplished that, what would that give me? What would that allow me to experience? Who would I be? What will I do? What will I have if I can at least take some action steps in that direction of achieving it.
Oh, that's a great way of looking at it, because sometimes we just say, okay, I'm losing 25 pounds. But we don't go any further than that. We don't think about the details and the reasons. And yeah, that makes so much sense. Does it help to just write that stuff down?
Yeah, very much. And I think you highlight, sometimes we focus on the outcome. I want to be 25 pounds lighter versus the action, the specific steps. So writing down a plan of what you're going to do, the specific angle. I'm going to go to the gym 3 days a week for half an hour. I'm going to meet with my doctor to get a physical therapy appointment, to get some PT to address the back pain, like those concrete steps. Mm-hmm. And then have it posted somewhere where you see it. Otherwise, you're going to forget about it. Even right. Tie it to an existing habit. Like, hey, I know I'm going to have lunch, so I'm going to go to the gym first and then eat lunch.
Right. Or you know, like attach it to something. This is something I do. So I'm sitting down every day, putting makeup on it. And then I know at the end of it, I do like a little minute meditation and repeat things over to myself that I want to accomplish either that day or in the long term. So that jogs my memory. So that works for me. But
I love that. And some of those phrases or affirmations or words that help you feel good and remind you of those goals you're working towards. Love that, Jill.
Does that help train your brain a little bit, too, when you do repeat those mantras?
Absolutely. Our brain has that negativity bias where we overfocus on what's wrong. Our brain is often saying some version of what's wrong. And as you're saying, if we can work with more positive affirmations, focusing on what we want to have happen, or just even trying to keep our thinking balanced, that goes a long way in stabilizing our mood, helping us stay more stress resilient, and it increases motivation to work on those goals so we feel more success in our life.
Yes, we love to do that. And before we go, we did get an email from Diane in Merrill to say that last year, her family of five spent way too much money on gifts for each other. And this year, Diane and her husband asked if they could downplay the gifts by limiting one gift per month per person, I guess, valued at a maximum of $10, with thrifting encouraged. They frosted cutout cookies and played a lot of games, spending time with each other rather than the focus on the gifts. And that's pretty much what you're saying, isn't it?
Beautiful. And I love that as a family, setting that expectation, you know, how many gifts or the amount, and then maybe pivoting to what you're going to do and share and create together, where it's baking or games or watching a holiday show or singing holiday music or going somewhere and having an adventure. That's what you remember, not so much the gifts.
Perfect. Well, you have absolutely wonderful holidays, Shyla, and we'll have you back here in February.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy holidays. I'll look forward to seeing you in 2026.
Oh, my. Thank you. Dr. Shyla Morgain is a distinguished psychologist in the Department of Orthopedics and Rehabilitation at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Up next, we're going to talk about multiple sclerosis, so stick with us. And then at 12:15, we're talking about menopause.